today's topic from Maqam al-Akhlaq is Haya, modesty and chastity. There's a hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah that there are four things that are sunnah and mursaleen, that are sunnah of all of the prophets. That every single prophet who was sent to this world, every one of them had these sunnahs in common. So one of those four things is the attribute of Haya. So as many prophets as came, they taught Haya, and they themselves were the embodiments of Haya. And they taught their ummah a lifestyle and how to live in a society of Haya. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that indeed for the people of every deen is a distinguishing characteristic, and the distinguishing characteristic of the deen of Islam is Haya. So the attribute of the deen of Islam is Haya. It is a special feature of this deen. So the essence of our deen, the summation of our deen, the marrow of our deen, that is Haya. Sayyidina Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha says that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that if there is a person who doesn't have any haya, it is as if they have no deen. There is no deen for them. And that person who doesn't have haya in this world, they will never ever be able to enter into Jannah. So what does it mean? That means that Jannat is the place for those people who have Haya, who are modest, chaste, pure. And a person who doesn't have Haya, and they live an unashamed life, a shameless life, they will end up in the fire of Jahannam. Another hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah said that Haya is a branch of Iman, and Iman is what leads one to Jannah. Another hadith, the Prophet said that Haya, that haya and hesitation from foulness, that's called e. So they are hesitation from bad speech or from bad acts. These are two attributes the Prophet said that will bring, that are part of branches of iman. There are two branches from amongst the branches of iman. And another hadith, the Prophet said that that thing which has haya in it, then that haya will adorn that act with beauty. And if it doesn't have haya, then it will be vulgar and profane, and it will be full of problems. So those things that are full of haya are full of barakah, and those things that are empty of haya will end up in disaster. When that person who has haya has zenith or inner beauty and is a beauty for the society, and haya is an attribute that should be in every person, and everybody actually has been given haya. The difference is that men have been given intrinsically less haya than women. Women have been given innately more haya than men. Although men and women both have haya. You shouldn't think that men don't have haya or youth don't have haya. Everyone has haya. If you were to say, grab any person and say, oh, I'm going to render you naked in front of everyone, look what's going to happen. He would be so embarrassed, he would wish I could just, the earth would swallow me up. He's a man, but still he has that shame, he has that modesty. He doesn't want to be shameless and naked in front of people. So animals, they don't have haya, but human beings, they have haya. And a woman has much more haya than a man. Why? Because she has to teach the children haya. She has to be the one who safeguards izzat and honor. So if anyone has a delicate responsibility, then and they have to transfer certain sifat, then Allah Ta'ala gives that person that sifat. So because the women have to transfer and teach haya, they've been given haya. And it comes in hadith. That if haya will never cause sedition and corruption on earth. However, you can say that haya makes everything better. Haya can never make anything worse, it can only make everything better. Another hadith. That a lack of haya is disbelief. A lack of haya is from the acts of kufr. And it comes in another hadith that there is no real iman for that person who doesn't have any haya. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that if haya was a person, if haya was a man, he would be a virtuous person, a virtuous man. So if we were to give haya a bodily form, that person would be an extremely virtuous person. Then another hadith that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person who has four attributes, that he hesitates from foul things, that they have haya, that they have modesty, chastity, purity. So the person who has who shies away from sin, the person who has haya, who has modesty and chastity, and the person who has iffat, the person who is guards their honor and guards others' honors. So that person who has haya, iffat and is mutafif, then Allah Ta'ala has love for that person. And then it comes another hadith that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that if the end result and conclusion of haya, it will bring you to nothing except for good. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah narrates that Sayyidina Rasulullah said that iman is 70 odd branches. Iman is 70 odd branches, and the best of them is to believe in La ilaha illallah. And the least of them, the branches of iman, is to remove something that is harmful from the path on which people walk and travel. And haya is a branch of iman. And it comes in a hadith. From amongst those things from that have been transmitted from the earlier prophets and have reached us, that is one of those things is that if a person loses their haya or haya, then do whatever you want. You might as well do whatever you want if you don't have any haya or modesty left. It comes in a hadith. That person who gives up the cloak and garment of haya, and then if he does something openly, immodestly, and you say it about him, that won't be called hibat, because that person himself has taken off their shame and taken off their protection. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that the hypocrite Even the Prophet ﷺ said that I have hope that the munafiq will come and accept iman if that munafiq has haya in them. So that means that haya is even something such a redeeming attribute that it could potentially bring the munafiq to a believer. And if that munafiq doesn't have haya, then I have no hope that he will ever become a believer. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three things. That if three attributes, that if anybody has these three attributes in them, anybody who possesses these three attributes, that people will stay away from that person, and in the hereafter they will be a means of taking him to hellfire. So number one, that they do fohsh, which is vulgar acts of sin. And they do another type of vulgarity, and they have lack of modesty. So Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW, he explained that a believer has haya. And there are two different ways. One is to have haya in front of people. That's also very good. That a person has relations of modesty and chastity. So this is haya that preserves the boundaries between in the relation. And if there's no haya, then the wife and the daughter and the sister, what's the difference in these roles? So in those countries in which you'll see there's no concept of modesty, there's no difference. There's just a woman. It doesn't matter if she's somebody's mother or somebody's wife or somebody's daughter. And they're surprised. Why do you even give a woman that identity? That she's a mother or a wife or a daughter. She's just plain woman. Because they have no concept of haya, no concept of modesty. The Prophet ﷺ said to go into a public bath where people take showers together. In early times they used to have certain designated public bathhouses and people used to bathe together unclothed. So the Prophet ﷺ forbade such a practice. And today, like the swimming pools of today, they're almost like that because people should not go swimming when the people are not properly dressed. For the man, from the belly button past the knees, that is called the satra ghaliza. That is something that they must hide in every situation. Whether it's a sport, whatever they're doing, they can neither be seen nor can it be revealed. That and the person who looks at it and the person who is being looked at, both of them will get the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this part of the body must be hidden at all times. So even if a person is going swimming, they must wear some type of swimsuit that covers their neck, belly button, past the knee, that has to be covered entirely, at the very least. And ideally, even for men, still their whole body should be covered when they're swimming. And for a woman, her whole body is satr. Yes, if there's a mahram man, she can show her hands, face and feet. So if women go swimming, and they're Muslim women, then they are special other swimwear that you can get which covers the whole body. But she must make sure she also swims in a place where no man is around, anywhere nearby even, to look. But it's all women's swimming. And all the other women also must be clothed properly. So Sharia has allowed swimming, but you have to observe the rules and respect the laws. It's not just that, okay, well, it's a sport, so therefore we're wrestling, so why can't we wear short shorts and expose our thighs? The Sharia says no, there's nothing more important than Sharia. That's why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that the person who sees such nakedness and the person who allows himself to be seen, Allah Ta'ala's anger and wrath and curse is on both of them. So much so that if a husband and wife wish to have marital relations and nobody is around, even then they should have a sheet over them. Why? Because if they have relations with the sheet over them, it's an act of haya, and then the children that are born from that act will be children who are modest. And you will see there are some people whose children are from a young age, they have haya, and the girls want to do niqab at the very early age. Why? Because the parents had haya. It's like a gene of haya. And they used to have relations with haya, so the children became haya. And if the husband and wife have relations like animals, the way the disbelievers do, then the progeny that is born of such shameless acts is also going to be shameless. Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala says, Sayyidatana Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said that in my whole life, I never saw the concealed part of the Prophet ﷺ in my whole life. So this is the blessed wife of the beloved Messenger ﷺ saying this. Usman came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, that can one show one's nakedness to one's wife? He said, it is technically permissible, but Usman, the Sahaba himself said is permissible. The Prophet said it's permissible, but the Sahaba responded, but I still feel embarrassed to do it. I still have haya from doing it. Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw some people bathing and they were almost partially covered. They weren't fully covered. Like imagine if somebody was wearing underwear, so it covers the major private part but it doesn't cover your thigh. So in that sense they were partially exposed. So when he saw that, he said that, oh, I wish I could die and be reborn, and then die and then reborn, and then again die and then again be reborn. That would have been better for me than I bathe in the manner that these people are bathing. So from the way they're bathing, I would rather die thrice. That would be better for me. Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to do ghusl in a dark room. Wanted to do it in an open lit area. No, he used to prefer to do ghusl in a room which was concealed and dark. Why? Because of his haya. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also used to do that and say that I would rather die than somebody see me in a naked condition. One other type of haya is to have haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala also is looking at us. So it's not just that there's creation who may be looking at us, the creator of that creation is always looking at us. Indeed, Allah ta'ala is always ever vigilant over you. When Sayyidina Musa al-Islam went towards Fir'aun, at that time he was worried that Fir'aun is a very strong government and I'm going in that direction. So both of the prophets, Musa al-Islam and Harun al-Islam, Allah Ta'ala sends hidayah to them and he says that idhaba, the two of you should go, fadhabad, both of you should go, and don't the two of you be scared at all. Indeed, I, Allah Ta'ala, I am ever present and right there with you, and I'm listening to everything and I'm watching everything. So means that when you speak to Fir'aun, I will be hearing what you say. Whatever you do, I will be watching you. So when I'm listening to you and I'm watching you and I'm with you, then why do you have any reason to fear? So Allah Ta'ala is looking and He's also hearing, listening, and He's also also with us. So we should have haya in front of an Allah Ta'ala whose awareness is always ever aware of us. One sahaba came to the Prophet and asked that, O beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that how much of myself should I conceal? So the Prophet said, for a man, from their belly button to past their knees. Then he asked the Prophet, when nobody is around. Then the Prophet said that when nobody is around, even then you should have haya in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So just being completely naked, the Sharia is disliked to that. Even if nobody is around at all. And the Sahaba had this concept was so clear that Usman al-Ghani used to say that when I used to go to the bathroom to relieve myself, and I would never take off my clothes when standing. I would first squat, and then when I would squat, then I would take off as much, I would lower my lower garment as much as required so that I could relieve myself. And some say that Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani used to even keep a sheet over him. And this was his bathroom sheet. And he would put the sheet there, and he would even tell his angels that, oh angels, you stay on the other side of the sheet, and I'm going to the bathroom on this side of the sheet. Now this is the way he talked to his angels. One Sayyidina Rasulullah was sitting, and the clothing he was wearing went up a little bit, so you saw his ankle. A calf. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr came, the Prophet stayed sitting like that. Sayyidina Umar stayed sitting like that. Then Sayyidina Usman walked in quickly, the Prophet covered his calf. And then he remained sitting. So later he was asked that, O beloved Messenger, that when the two of them came, you didn't cover your calf. But now when Usman al-Ghani came and you chose to cover your calf, he said that that person in front of whom the angels of Allah Ta'ala have haya, how could I not have haya in front of that person? So the angels had haya in front of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. Can you look what the training was of Sahaba? Look at the level of haya that they had. Abdul Qais, when he went to the Prophet ﷺ, so Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ told him that you have two good attributes which Allah Ta'ala and the Beloved Messenger ﷺ, they like a lot. Number one is you have haya, and second, burdwari. Haya, you have modesty. Second, how to translate? It's you get along with everyone. You have modesty and you get along with everyone. Sayyidina Rasulullah was asked a question that who is the best woman? So different sahaba give different answers. Sayyidina Ali Rana was also there. He said, I got up and I went and I said, let me get this answer from my wife, from the daughter of the Prophet Sayyidina Fatima Dana. So he asked Fatima Zahra, and she said, she gave a reply, and Sayyidina Ali Rana went back to the Prophet and shared her reply. He said, O beloved Messenger, the best woman is that woman who doesn't look at all at non-mahram men ever, nor does she ever let a non-mahram man ever get the chance to look at her. She observes such strict parda. So she doesn't look at any non-mahram, nor does any non-mahram look at her. This is the best woman. So Sayyidina Rasulullah heard this and he smiled and he said that, oh, Fatima is just a piece of my heart. So she is Sayyidatul Nisa Ahlul Jannah, she is the leader of the women in Jannah, and she understood who the best woman is. And in that blessed age, women would not even leave their homes except in necessity. And if they left, they would not be walking in the middle of the paths. They would walk on the absolute side of the path, so that the men should walk in the middle of the path and the women should walk on the side. And they would walk along the walls, and their clothing would sometimes be rubbing against the walls. That's how close they would walk by the wall. That we shouldn't even, our cloth should not even touch anyone. That's how much haya the Sahabiyat had. And today it's just a lack of parda, lack of niqab, that is the source of all sins. Once we went to Chitral, there the ulama, Chitral is a place in northern Pakistan, so there the ulama, they said that Hazrat, there is a practice that we have that is the norm, that the women don't leave the home in daylight hours. All the men do all the shopping and we bring it home and show it to our wives. And if our wife or a woman wants to go to a relative or for any reason, she will leave after Maghrib in the protection of the dark. So I was amazed that in this day and age, when there's so little haya and the whole world is been attacked, the haya of the world, but alhamdulillah, there's still some place on earth where women have so much haya that they don't like to go out. First of all, if they go out, they go out at night, so they're more concealed. And then Alam said that the barakah of this amal is that in our whole area, there is no fighting, no enmity, there is no hostility, there's no crime, there's no murder, there's no robbery, there's no fighting. Why? Because all of the basis of this facade is lack of parda, lack of hijab. So when they don't have this major sin, then they're all living with one another with mutual love. So we became happy that the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah are still being followed in some parts of the world. Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, once it was the first night of the lunar month, and she didn't see, she wasn't able to see it, although that's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that he used to look for the new moon, and he has a sunnah dua even that he used to recite when he used to see the new moon. So Sayyidina Ali, he asked her, they said to Fatima, did you see the moon? Have you seen the new crescent? And she said, no, I haven't seen it. And then he said, why haven't you seen it? It was looking very nice tonight. She said, I wanted to see it, but I didn't. So he said, why not? And she said that because it is the first night of the crescent, and a lot of people try to look at it right at the time of Maghrib. So it occurred to me that a lot of people are there, so a lot of non-mahram men must be outside. What if I look at the moon at the same time a non-mahram man looks at the moon? I don't even want to look simultaneously with a non-mahram man. I will look some other time. That's how much haya she had. This is the daughter of Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ. And she also left a wasiyat, last will, that when I die, you should put a huge sheet on me so nobody can even tell how tall I am, how slender I am. And I want you to do my janazah at night so there's no light, so I'm concealed. So in her lifetime, she concealed herself and with so much hijab, but she wanted that after I pass away, even then nobody should be able to know anything about my height or my width or my body size. And what daraja did she get? She is Sayyidatul Nisa' Ahl Jannah. She's the leader of all the women of Jannah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that person who has little haya, he will have little taqwa, and that person who has little taqwa, his spiritual heart will die. Wara means taqwa, their fear of Allah Ta'ala, their awe and reverence for Allah Ta'ala will become less. So less haya leads to less wara, and a person who has less wara, their qalb, their spiritual heart will die. Some of the awliya, they said that if there is a Muslim,
يمنعه من المعاصي
If there's a Muslim and they have no other attribute, but they have just this one attribute of haya, the attribute of haya will be sufficient to keep that person away from sin. Because they have haya, it's such a master attribute that even if they have no other attribute, if they have haya, that single attribute will suffice to keep them away from sin. It has also been reported that having a lack of haya, little haya, is the death of the spiritual heart. And that person whose heart is alive, then the person's haya is complete. And there is one haya, which is to have haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? To reflect on the blessings Allah ta'ala has given us, and then to look at what's my level of obedience. Let me look at the level of blessings Allah ta'ala has given me, and let me compare that to my level of obedience to Him, and then to feel shame at the discrepancy. To remember the tremendous favors Allah ta'ala has done, and to feel shame at my lack of tremendous obedience. And but that person who doesn't care about these things is carefree. That person doesn't have haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jinnah Baghdadi Raftai said that haya means to see all the blessings Allah has given you, to reflect on them, to perceive them, and to look at your own sins. And then between these two, there's a hal, a state which is called haya. The Noon Mystery of Night said that haya is the presence of haiba, of fear in a person's heart, and awe for Allah Ta'ala, and whatever sins that we did in the past, to feel very scared in front of Allah Ta'ala, that what's my Allah Ta'ala going to do about all these past sins that I did, and Allah Ta'ala gave me so many blessings in the past, but still I was disobeying Him. And love is something that summons a person. And fear makes the heart tremble. And haya makes the person silent. So that person with haya will often see that he prefers to remain silent. It has also been said that that person with haya in front of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will have haya in front of them. Wahab ibn Munabbar Rahmatullah said that iman is itself naked, its libas, its clothing is taqwa, and its beauty is haya. The zenith of iman is haya. And its capital is being having iffa, being honorable. Shaykh Hasan Basri said that being modest and being generous, haya and karam, these are two attributes of khair, of virtue. And any person who has this, Allah Ta'ala will raise them up. Whomsoever has these two attributes of haya and karam, then these two attributes, Allah Ta'ala will use these two to raise and exalt them. Fazail ibn Yaz Ramta used to say that there are five things that are the sign of becoming a shaqi. Number one is that you have hardness in your heart. Second is that your eye becomes dry. It's not able to shed tears over your sins. And that they have ragba towards the dunya, and they have long hopes for the future. And last is that they have very little haya. So our Mashaik mentioned that there are different types of haya. One is to have haya over crime, to be too shameful to commit a crime and a sin. When Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam in Jannah, his clothes were removed when he ate from the fruit of the tree. So at that time, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was very embarrassed and felt shame. And he quickly ran to try to get some leaves and cover himself. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallam asked him, that, "O Adam alayhi salam, are you trying to run?" And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam said that, "Ya Rabbi, O my Rabb, no, I'm just trying to adopt haya in front of you. I'm not running away from you, I'm trying to adopt haya in front of you. That's why I was going to look for leaves with which to cover my body." So another hadith about that said on haya taqseer, that there's some haya makes a person feel they're inadequate. So there are some angels that they spend their whole life in sajda, and in that life, their entire life in sajda, and then even after they spend an entire lifetime in sajda, they will say, "Allah Ta'ala, we didn't worship you as you deserve to be worshipped." So it means a haya makes a person humble. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he married off his daughter Sayyidina Zainab and called the guests to the Valima, and then they all ate like some friends, they come and eat. So the Sahaba were sitting, that Allah Ta'ala didn't like this, that why did they stay back? So Allah Ta'ala said in Quran that after you finish eating, go back to your homes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself didn't say anything to them. But Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has haya. So it was so nice of him that he didn't say, "But you should go, and you shouldn't have stayed back, overstayed." Another type of haya is to have the haya of Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu. He once wanted to ask the Prophet a question about marital relations, but he was embarrassed because he was married to the daughter of the Prophet. So he sent Sayyidina Miqdad on his behalf as an anonymous messenger to ask an anonymous question. There's another hayat that Sayyidina Musa, Allah Ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa that you should ask me, even you should beg salt from me. Whatever you need, you should always ask from me. So that means that we shouldn't shy away from asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second type of haya, next type of haya. He said on the day of judgment, a person will feel haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my book of deeds is going to be presented. Then next haya. Say the haya of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that is ashamed when they see evil in front of them, ashamed when they see indecency in front of them. Then another type of haya is haya over one own self. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once his feeling of haya was such that Ummin Aisha says that Sayyidina Rasulullah had more haya than a young virgin girl in her veil. The Prophet had more haya than a young virgin girl who was veiled. The Mashayikh al-Sufi have said that one type of haya is to be too embarrassed to commit sin. There's another haya to get close to Allah Ta'ala, that a person wants the qurb of Allah Ta'ala so much that not only does he stay away from sin, but he stays away from wasawis. He feels embarrassed about the thoughts he thinks. And then to have haya of Mushahidah Ilahi, that the person has such a haya that Sayyidina Rasulullah had this perfectly, that when the Prophet saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lowered his gaze. So this is the shyness that a person will have when they are presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the early books it's been mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Ibn Adam, that indeed Adam alayhi salam, that until and unless, as long as you have haya in front of me, I will make people forget your faults and sins. I will remove your faults and sins from people's memory as long as you have haya in front of me. So the person who has haya, Allah Ta'ala will protect, conceal their faults, and people will even forget that he made this error, he made this mistake. So the person who doesn't have haya becomes zaleel, becomes disgraced, and the person who has haya, Allah Ta'ala conceals and covers their faults and even makes people forget their faults. If you have haya in front of me, I won't let people be such that they will be able to let loose their tongues against you. Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW, that you should have haya, the right that Allah Ta'ala has over you, that you should have haya. So the Sahaba asked Rasulullah SAW, that don't, we do have haya in front of Allah Ta'ala. So the Prophet said, no, you don't. I'm not talking about the haya that you already have. However, that person who has haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as they're alive, his head and all of those things that are in their head, means their eyes and nose and lips and ears, until you don't lose any of them in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, that is haya. And whatever is inside your stomach and whatever and your organ of desire, you don't use that either in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So that person who saves all of his senses and his stomach and his organs from sin, that is the type of, and he remembers death frequently, and he reflects on that day when he will be placed in the grave, and he leaves the beauties of the world and makes intention of Akhirah. Whoever has done all of these things, that person has had haya from Allah Ta'ala, as Allah Ta'ala is haq that we should have haya over him. So haya doesn't just mean shyness. Haya means to stay away from sin. They should stay away from the sin of all of the senses and stay away from sin in public or in private. Today, people have the first attribute, which is that they stay away from sin in public. Why? Because they look Islamic, so they're too embarrassed to sin in front of other people because of their appearance, or they're too embarrassed to sin in front of when other people are watching, such as when their wife is watching. But it's very difficult to stay away from sin when you're alone. And to reach this level, you need to make a lot of effort. And until you get this, you will never be, your name will never be written in the ranks of the people who have haya. In the world may think that we have haya, but as far as Allah Ta'ala's list, we'll be considered the people who don't have haya. Why? Because we did sins in secret and in privacy. So now think that we spent so much effort in our life, and then still in our, in Allah Ta'ala's books, we are not amongst the people of haya because we still do sin. If we want that our name should be written amongst the people of haya, in Allah Ta'ala's regard, then we should make true tawbah. In Allah Ta'ala, we make tawbah of all of our sins, and we want that Allah Ta'ala, you should include us in the list of the people that you consider to have haya. That's why in earlier scripture, it has been written that, oh my servant, you are not being true to me. You raise your hands and make dua to me, and even I am too, I have haya and I am too ashamed to reject your duas. So I grant what you ask, but when you are alone with your nafs, you are not ashamed in front of me and you still do your sins. So I have haya in front of you, but you have no haya in front of me. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam said that if Allah Ta'ala wants to destroy a person, to bring about a person's downfall, then Allah Ta'ala takes away their haya. So they start doing the acts which don't have haya. And he doesn't feel any remorse or shame about it. Malik bin Dinar said that there's no greater punishment in the world than if Allah Ta'ala takes away haya from a person. Ata'a bin Abi Rabah said that Allah Ta'ala sent inspiration on me, that, oh my servant, tell the people that when you make the intention to commit sin, you close all those doors through which creation looks at you, but you don't close the door that I, your creator, look at you. So from all of those who look towards you, have you given me the least value and importance? That from all of those who look towards you, you hold me the least value and significance. So therefore, and especially those who give talks and are imams and khatib, it's an eye opener for them. And people who give bayan, and we are scared when we tell this, that Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that, oh my Isa alayhi salam, you should give yourself nasiha, advise yourself. One is for us to advise people. So Allah Ta'ala told Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, fine, you advise people, advise yourself also. Give yourself some admonishment and advice. Wa'ad. When Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, do you tell people to do what is virtuous and you forget your own self and you are reading the Quran, the book? So you tell people to adopt the path of piety and you forget your own self. So doesn't the person who is the speaker, shouldn't he doing practicing piety himself also? So for those who give bayan and lecture, they should have an eye opener. So what Allah Ta'ala tell Isa alayhi salam, that you should give advice to your own self. So that you give yourself nasiha so that you will be able to learn from that nasiha. Advise yourself so that you may be advised, and if you don't learn advice, then you should have haya. That why, how dare, why aren't you embarrassed in front of me from advising other people? That that time I'm looking at you, that you are telling people to stay away from sin and you yourself aren't able to stay away from sin. So you should advise yourself. If you can't, then you should at least be ashamed in front of Allah Ta'ala. The world doesn't know your reality, but I, Allah Ta'ala, know your reality. So you should have fear in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He knows your reality, knows your... Some of the awliya used to say that that person was two-faced, that outwardly they are pious, but secretly they do sin. So when they do nasiha, the angels on their right and their left shoulder, they start telling them that, look at you, you're telling the people to stay away from sin, but you yourself don't stay away from that sin. Luqman alayhi salam, he gave his son some advice. He said, oh my son, that if you ever feel that you're intending to inclining towards sin, look at the sky and remember that Allah Ta'ala against whom you are contemplating to disobey against. So look up at the sky. So when you intend or think of sinning, look at the sky. And if you can't do that, then at least look around you and see the people and be ashamed in front of the people. So my son, if you make intention to commit sin, then look at the sky. And if not, you can't do that, then look around you. And if you can't do that either, then there's no difference between you and the animal. This is an animal who has no haya. So that person who doesn't have haya in front of Allah Ta'ala nor in front of creation, that person isn't really a human being, he's an animal. May Allah Ta'ala save us from such a life of ghafla, and may Allah Ta'ala give us a life of haya so that we may be able to stay away from all sin 100% and completely come onto a life of taqwa. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.